All right. If you get your Bibles out, we're going to do a teaching this morning, a Sunday school teaching, on something rather unique. I want to prove. Anybody bring their calculator? All right. I'm going to prove in the Bible the exact date of Israel's rebirth was foretold in the Old Testament. Now, I thought this was timely because Israel, as you know, has been in the news. Bombing Lebanon, had had their belly full of Hezbollah. Although I understand tomorrow they're supposed to have a peace treaty. I don't know. I'll see how long that'll last. But anyway, the nation Israel came to be on May 15th, 1948. And there's a scripture, and we're going to run through a bunch of scriptures this morning. So the first scripture we're going to look at is in Isaiah 66:8. It was actually prophesied that Israel would become a nation in a day. It is not normal for Israel to become a nation in a day. Let me say that again. That is not normal. Nations generally do not form in a day. It's a process. Israel did. It says in Isaiah 66:8, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed," which I believe was the Holocaust, "she brought forth her children." So it was prophesied that this nation that had been abandoned, frankly, since the dispersion, the diaspora in 70 AD, they regathered. But the honest truth, they were not a nation in 70 AD. They really were not an independent nation. I want you to know, they were really not an independent nation in, for all intents and purposes, since the Babylonian captivity. Okay. For what? They were always captive and under someone else. Even when they came back from the regathering, they never really regained the full independent nation status that they get in 1948. So, what I want to show you by the scripture, and again, I encourage you to take notes and challenge me on this, because I want to prove it by math. Exodus 12:40, we're going to start here. Now, this to me is absolutely fascinating. One of the most fascinating about the word, I am an engineer by background, so I like math and numbers. And I like it when you can do the numbers and prove the scripture. Exodus 12:40, this is God prophesying to... this is when Israel fled Egypt. Okay, the day of the Passover. And it says, Exodus 12:40, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the same day, came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt." Now I want you to listen very carefully. Remember the number 430. It was to the day, I mean to the very day that they went into Egypt, 430 years to the very day they left Egypt. Isn't that amazing? To the day. Now, there's something significant about the year, the number 430. We're going to see that ties into nation Israel later on. In fact, look at Genesis 15:13. God, I want to hear something fascinating. God told Abraham hundreds of years later that the time in Egypt would occur, but the years are different. In Genesis 15:13, many, many years before, God told Abraham in a vision. And he said to Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, and they'll serve them, and they will afflict them." How many years? How many? And he's talking about the Egyptian captivity. Now, to confirm that, look at Acts 7, verse 6. Stephen quoted that, and he confirms in Acts 7, verse 6, talking about the history of Israel. It said, "And God spake on this wise," now I'm moving pretty fast, so flip through your Bibles here. "God spake on this wise, that his seed would sojourn in a strange land, and that they would bring them into bondage and entreat them evil," how many years? So, God told Abram they would be in Egypt 400 years. They ended up being in Egypt for 430 years. Does anybody know why? The truth was the enslavement meant to be 400. I believe, and it occurred, it took 430. I would humbly submit, I've wrestled with this for years. One of the reasons I believe is this, when Moses blew it. See, Moses, I think, needed about a 10-year training and then would have gone on in as the savior of Egypt. But he blew it. He killed an Egyptian. He had to wait till Pharaoh died before he could go back and pull his people out. Do you remember that? It was not intended. The new Pharaoh let him out. But he had to wait till the previous, because what? He killed a man out of his ambition, so he delayed the whole thing by 30 years. And that just shows me the redemption of everything. But it's interesting, though, the number 430 was set. Now, look at Jeremiah 25:11. We're going to jump thousands of years later. In Jeremiah 25:11, as you know, the children of Israel eventually, because of their rampant apostasies, etc., ended up being taken captive for 70 years into Babylonia. You all know about the Babylonian captivity. It occurred the last chapters of Chronicles. It was just kind of there was these terrible, terrible kings. Manasseh made a mess of everything and all these terrible, and finally God had his belly full and he sends Judah captive. The other part of the nation of Israel had already been captive to the Assyrians, but the core of Israel was sent captive to Babylon. And in Jeremiah 25:11, he was told that it would last 70 years. Therefore now mend your ways and your doings, obey the voice of the Lord. Wait, I'm sorry. Where am I at? 25:11. Yeah. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon how long? 70 years. So listen, now this is right. I want you to stay with me. Jeremiah prophesied that the Babylonian captivity would last 70 years. And according to the book of Ezra, we know exactly when the Babylonian captivity ended. Look at Ezra 1:1. Ezra is right before Nehemiah, which is right before Esther, which is right before Job, which is right before Psalms. There you go. Ezra 1:1. So, first thing we looked at this morning was the 430 years of captivity of Egypt. That's a separate number. Put that out of your mind right now. Now we're looking at the 70-year captivity of Babylon. Now, it turns out, listen, that at a certain established year, the 70-year captivity ended. Ezra 1:1, now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Do you see that? What word of the Lord is it by the mouth of Jeremiah that needed to be fulfilled? It was that the end of the Babylonian captivity would occur on the 70th year. God stirred up the spirit of the king of Persia. By the way, that's Iran. Okay, he stirred up Israel and Iran have been at it for a long time. Okay, well, and this is one of the favorable times. Stirred up Cyrus, and he made a proclamation through all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. By the way, I need to tell you something amazing. Cyrus's name is found in the book of Isaiah, and it had been there over 100 years before he was born. Somebody came up to Cyrus, showed him the scroll of Isaiah, said, look, your name is in here. By 100 years ago, the prophet said, you, by name, he named him, would set the captives free and open. And this is what Cyrus saw. They went, whoa. And I think that's why he did this. Because the Lord says, I have named you. You ought to read those passages. I've named you. Though you know me not, before you came to be, I've named you, and you would release my people. So having that, clear mandate, Cyrus says, thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. How? He read Isaiah. He read this prophecy that occurred 100 years before. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He's the God which is in Jerusalem. Now, here's the thing. Cyrus was mandated, and he called all of the captives to leave. All of them to leave. That was the mandate. We're going to see that most of them didn't. In fact, you probably, in Nehemiah and Ezra, they delineate who leaves. They even almost name them by clans. Many, many, the majority of Jews did not leave Babylon. Okay? There's some believe that the wise men that came to see Jesus, remember the wise men that came to see Mary and Joseph from the east? That many believe it was just men of Jewish heritage, who knew the scriptures, that the star would rise, a quote to Balaam's quote, and they recognized by the books of Daniel, and they came to see. So many believe they may have been Persian Jewish heir, what do you call it? descendants of those Jews who never left. So the majority didn't leave, but he made a proclamation to go on, leave captivity, and go back. Now, what's important, if in your Bibles it may say B.C. 536, does it? That is one of the most established dates, even in secular history. I want to make this very clear. B.C. 536 is the year, the clear established year in the Bible and in secular history, when the Babylonian captivity ended. And it actually is the exact tabulation of the first coming. It's very, Jesus' first coming was tabulated from that date. Look at Daniel 9:25. I believe the wise men from the east who came looking for the star, looking for the little baby Jesus, recognized that it would occur based upon the established year of the command to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the end of the seven-year captivity, and Daniel 9:25. He says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Didn't we just see what that was? Wasn't that Ezra 1, 3? Y'all with me? Cyrus just made the command. He says, from that point, in other words, in Daniel 9:25, he's saying from 536 B.C. All right? He says, the prince will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street will be built. And again, this passage, we won't go, that literally tells you Messiah will come and he will be cut off and rejected by his people. And if you can calculate that, it literally tells you, it brings you all the way up to 30 AD when Jesus began his ministry and was baptized. And I believe those who understood the times as the angel encouraged Daniel in the 12th chapter when the angel was coming, he says, there are those that are wise will understand the times. Jesus himself said, look at those that are wise, look at the seasons, know the times of the season. They came and they understood that the Christ would come, the first coming. B.C. 536 is a very significant year. Now, what's interesting is this is where it gets fascinating. The Lord states that Israel would suffer captivity again for 430 years. Okay? And the prophecy was given at the same time that Jeremiah gave the 70 years. Now listen to this. Jeremiah came, it had been 70 years they'd been in captivity. And Jeremiah says, okay, you're freed up. But Ezekiel comes up and says, whoa, slow down, dude. The total captivity is not just 70, it's 430. They need 430 years to break them of all that rebellion and idolatry and horror that occurred in the kings. All right, now I want you to hear this. In Jeremiah 25:11. Jeremiah says, oh good, it's 70 years, we're out of captivity. But look at Ezekiel says at about the same time, Ezekiel 41:1. No, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 4:1. Now it's fascinating, it's kind of the duel of the prophets. One says, all right, 70 years, they're out of captivity. And Ezekiel says, the Lord says to Ezekiel, no, yeah, they're out of captivity of Babylon, but they will not be an independent nation for 430 years. And it's fascinating. How many years were they taken captive in Egypt? Remember? What number was it? Look at this. Thou son of man, take the attire, lay it before thee, portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Lay a siege against it, build a fort against it, cast a mount against it, set the camp against it, and set a battering ram against it. Moreover, you shall take thee an iron pan and set a wall of iron between you and the city and set your face against it. It'll be besieged, and you shall lay siege in it. This will be a sign of the house of Israel. Now lie thou upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that thou shalt bear, lie upon it, thou shalt bear the iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity. This is the punishment. According to the number of the days, 390 days, so shall you bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you've accomplished them, then lie, turn in your... This guy had to lay on his left side for 390 days. Talk about bed sores. And then he finally let him turn around. Like he finally says, okay, you lay on your other side. And when you've accomplished them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I've appointed thee each day for a year. Now somebody add 390 plus 40. What do you have? 430. Isn't that fascinating? That's how many years Israel was captive in Egypt. He says they still have to do another 430 years captive. This came just about the time that Jeremiah was all excited. Oh, good. They're done with their 70 years of being released from captivity of Babylon. And the Lord is basically saying, look, you know what? They are not going to regain independent nation status. They're not going to be released from the punishment of their iniquity. They're not going to get out from under the boot of sovereign nations for another 360 years. And did you get know when I got that number? Well, remember, it was 430, but they just finished 70. So how many is left? Work with me here. Okay, overhead number one. Quickly, he instantly. There you go. Hit play. Play, 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 play. There we go. Quiet, Randy. You're forgiven. Your deception. Okay. That should be 430 years. I don't know how that number got there. Listen, it's 536 B.C. That's where I made a mistake. It's 536 B.C., but listen, there's 430 years. So it's 430 minus 70 is what? Now, this is really important. This is going to prove nation Israel was born on May 15th, 1948. So there was 360 years yet to go. Now, does anybody has a problem up to this point? They had, at the 70-year Babylonian captivity, they had accomplished 70 of the 430. But there was 360 years of punishment yet to go over the nation of Israel. Now, here's the kicker. There's clear, and this is the revelation, there's clear scripture that if Israel did not do the right thing with the Lord, if they did not repent quickly and cooperate with him, if they went this wicked way, that he would multiply their punishment 7 times. And I believe that what they didn't do, listen, in 70 AD, I'm 70 AD, I'm sorry, at 536 BC, the majority of the nation did not go back. They did not. They said, no, we have houses, we have lands, we are comfortable here in Babylon, we do not want to go back, uproot, and birth the nation Israel. Okay? So they had 360 years to go, and the majority didn't go back. So here's the revelation. Look at Leviticus 26. You know, I'm going too fast. I'm almost done. Is this clear with everybody so far? I thought this was going to take a long time, but y'all kind of sharp. See, I deliberately put that little thing up there to see, and sure enough, y'all are snapping on all cylinders this morning. Leviticus 26, 18. Leviticus 26 is a chapter that delineates the horrible curses. It reminds me of Deuteronomy 28. The horrible curses that God would put that God would put on the people of Israel if they didn't obey him. I mean, diseases and carnage and dispersion and horror. Okay, and in the middle of it all, look at this, Leviticus 26, 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, though I will punish you 7 times what? More for your sins, and I'll break the pride of your power, and I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Look at verse 21. And if you will walk contrary unto me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 23. And if you not be reformed by me by these things and will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times more for your sins. Verse 27. And if you are not for all this hearken unto me and walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in fury, and I will also chastise you 7 times more for your sins. Now, you know what I believe about the Bible? There's a scripture that says it's an honor of kings to search out things. Things in the scripture are not laid out real clear. I wish they were. I wish the New Testament said, okay, if you say you need to speak in tongues, need to get under authority, blah, 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 you know, this is line of that. Well, you see, he tried that in the Old Testament, called the Ten Commandments, and they didn't keep them. So he says, having these things lined out doesn't work anyway. So I'm going to make it where the hungry, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, they're going to be filled. And you have to seek out wisdom. And you have to search. And I think here's a fancy word, eschatological truth, end time truth, is something you have to seek and find. It's not just laid out there. And I was been fascinated about end time prophecy. You'd be surprised. I rarely ever teach it here. But back in the early 70s, I remember getting a bunch of disciples when I lived in the attic of a church in Virginia in 1973. And I got a bunch of disciples. We would get ice cream and sit around and we'd study prophecies. And back then, you know, there's about one prophecy book out back then called Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. That was about it. And we all will believe in the pre-trib. Which, you know, over the years, I stayed in the Word and taught the Word and believed the Word in many, many years. But all in the 80s, up to the early 90s, I preached pre-trib. I believed pre-trib, that Christ would come first before all the bad stuff had happened. And it was Norman Parrish that started to straighten me out in the early 90s. He gave me a book called The Sign and began to really research it. But all those years I believed in pre-trib, honestly, there was a lot of scriptures that didn't jive. They didn't fit. It's like I believed for a long time about eternal security, that there's no way you could ever lose your initial salvation. I believe that. But again, there was all these scriptures that didn't jive and didn't fit. And so now that I understand apostasy is possible, they all make sense. Now that I understand, I believe pre-trib is a deception of the enemy. Because when Antichrist does rise, most Christians are can't believe it. Well, how could that be Antichrist? I'm still here. See? And that's where they're going to be deceived many. It's the great apostasy. I believe no longer pre-trib, but pre-wrath. I believe we are going to go through Satan's wrath, but we're not going to go through God's wrath, pre-wrath. When he pulls out the bowl judgments, we're out of here. And Jesus only comes again once. There's no coming down, capturing him. I think he comes again one time and takes his people. Amen? I really believe that. And all of a sudden, all the scriptures do this. And so it's anything like that. It's like anything else. The fact of the nation of Israel becoming a nation was so significant. He said in Isaiah, it would occur in a day. It's such a significant sign of the times that he literally hit the scripture. I think Revelation, if he did the numbers all the way, I think not only would it give the day, it'll give the hour, the minute. I believe it even gives the second that they slammed the gavel, said it's an whatever. I believe if you did the numbers all the way out, it would literally do all the way to the second. That God had said thousands of years before, the very second that nation became an Israel on May 15th, 1948. I didn't do the numbers that extreme. I can give you just about the day, give or take a week. Okay. Well, I didn't do the math to get it all the way down to the, but I believe it's there. I believe that's how precise the Word of God is. And what I've tried to show today is it all comes off of, well, do overhead too. It all comes off of, these scriptures. Now again, 360 years, remember that was what was left? But if you don't do what I say, you're going to be punished seven times. What's seven times 360? In other words, what he's saying, now did we establish what the 360 was? Remember, there's 430 years of captivity. They'd done 70. And Ezekiel said, whoa, 70 ain't over yet, dude. You still got 360 to go. Remember? Lay on your side. Okay. Almost like Jeremiah said this, Ezekiel came back and said, whoa, dude, it's not done, 360. And the Lord said, you know what? But at the 70-year point, they didn't go back. They're still being hard and rebellious. That's it. Seven times. Based upon Leviticus, I'm going to multiply that 360 times 70. Times 7. And what do you have? 2520 years. Now, y'all with me so far? Now the Lord is saying they're going to go 2,520 years before they become an independent nation. Because when I did deliver them from captivity, they didn't all come back. I believe had they all come back, they would have established as a nation. I believe had they all left Babylon, he probably would have right then set them up. But they didn't. Just a paltry, and that's basically what Ezra and Nehemiah is about. Just a remnant came back. Remember the teaching of Nehemiah, how difficult it was with Sanballat and all the Horites and the Ammonites and fighting them, because it was just a small remnant came back to rebuild the city, rebuild Jerusalem. Okay. Now, let me make something real clear. This is when you might need your calculator. This 2520, again, the year is 536 BC, right? From 536 BC at the end of the captivity According to the Lord, it would be 2,520 years before the nation Israel became an independent nation. Now, here's the problem. Here's the rub. Those are biblical years based upon the lunar calendar. They're not modern years based upon the solar calendar. That's the rub. And I can prove to you that the Bible uses the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar teaches that every month has 30 days. There's 360 days a year. Y'all know about how a circle has 360 degrees? That's where we get that. 45 degrees, 90 degrees, 180 degrees. It comes from the lunar calendar, 360. Okay? The Bible uses it. You want a reference to prove that? Look at Revelations 11:2. I'm going to show you. And this is, by the way, one example of many, many examples of the lunar calendar in the Bible. It's all over the place. But I picked one where you can simply do the math. Revelations 11:2-3, he says, "But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city will be tread down underfoot 42 months. And I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,203 score days." 1260. Do the math. 42 months equals 12, is that right? 1260? 1,200. What's 42 into 1260? It's 30. So lunar years means 30-day month. Are you with me? This proves it. 42 months equals 1260 days. That means in the Bible, when they talk about a year, they're talking about a year of 360 days in the year. Is that clear to everybody? Everywhere in the Bible, it's consistent. It's a lunar calendar. That's where we get the 360 degrees from. We, however, since the time of Christ, adopted the solar calendar. We base our calendar, modern-day calendar, upon the sun, which is 365.25 days a year. You understand? That's why we have to have a leap year, what, every 4 years, because 365 and a quarter of a day. It takes you have to leap a day. They also have about every 500 years they have to do a leap second and a leap minute. But anyway, suffice it for sufficient times, a solar calendar is 365.25. So we have to interpolate from lunar to solar to get, are y'all with me so far? Okay, overhead three. Oh, is that right? Yeah, three. Now, 2,520 lunar years times 360 days a year equals 907,200 lunar days. All right, now work with me. We're told, that's why I got it on the overhead. It's going to be from 536 B.C., 2,520 years until Israel become a nation, okay? But that's lunar years. We have to interpolate it to solar years. The way to do it is pull it down into days. So 2,520 lunar years equals 907,200 lunar days. Are y'all with me so far? I got any questions? I'll slow down. This is kind of, it takes a while to get this, particularly if you don't have a math mind. Okay? So, now what we want to do is find the solar years, because if you can find the solar years, we're going to see if this thing actually matches up to the very day. Because if you run the lunar years, you plug it into the present solar calendar, it ain't going to land in 1948. So you've got to take the Bible lunar years, interpolate them over to the solar years. And it's just a simple little math equation. Okay? All you do, overhead four, is you take the 907,200 lunar days and you divide it by the days of the solar year. The days of the, it's 365.25. That's our current calendar, am I right? You simply divide it. You take the lunar days and you divide it by the solar days, 365.25 days per solar year, and then you have the modern solar years. That's all it is, a simple little division. And that tells us, based upon our current calendar, from 536 B.C., listen to this, it would be 2,483.8 modern solar years until the birth of Israel. Any questions? That's a whole nother issue. Granted, that's a whole nother issue, but the reality is from one end of the Bible to the other, everything's based upon 360-day lunar year. Obviously, why do you think they ended up changing to the solar? I mean, that's why... Wait, let's not go any further. Let's not get in an argument. Just let me finish my... We talk further. But why do you think they moved to the solar? Because the solar year is more precise. It does keep things. There were certain things, I'm sure, done. But the solar year keeps the seasons in sync. But the Bible, from one end to the other, uses 30-day months, 360-day years. You can't get away from the fact that that's what the Bible uses. Yeah, you can say in your mind, well, that's going to throw everything in sync, out of sync. Absolutely. That's why we have solar years now. But still, from one end to the other, that's what the Bible uses. Wait, no, let me get into a discussion. Let's finish this. But my point is here, for the math of this, you've got to understand, this is what the Bible calls a year, 360 days a year, from one end to the other, okay? And again, that's why we live under a different system that keeps it more in sync. Okay. I want to argue about the mechanics of why and everything. I'm just trying to stay right with the issue of get these numbers, because this is the hidden. You've got to understand, I think the truth was always laid out there. If we still lived under the lunar year system, the numbers would work perfect. You wouldn't have to interpolate it. It's because we changed it, you have to do a little interpolation just to put it in modern years. So, what we're looking at is from the time of 536 B.C., when the Jews came back from Israel, and the command went out from Cyrus to come back and build the nation, very few came. You could read in Ezra and Nehemiah, they even listed the clans that came. And frankly, the vast majority didn't. And what I believe is the Lord said, that's it. I sent you in captivity as a punishment, and now you like it. It's like a guy sitting in jail saying, I like it here. Three cots and a hot. Or how's it go? Three hots and cots or whatever. I don't want to leave. Well, I don't know. Three hots and a cot. I don't want to leave. And the Lord says, I've had it. You know, I've got you. I prophesied this. I told Cyrus, and you still stand. That's it. Seven times more until you become an independent nation. All right? So that's all he did. So we did the number. We're just switching over to solar years. What happens? Well, we know that from 536 B.C., you have 2,483.8 modern solar years until Israel becomes a nation. So the last slide, no, second last slide. Here's it. Ezekiel prophesied that Israel's worldwide captivity would end when 2,483.8 solar years from the end of the Babylonian captivity of 536 B.C. Is that established with everybody? That's basically what he prophesied. Let's do the math. Last one. Here's the math. The Babylonian captivity, by the way, the Babylonian captivity occurred in the spring. Okay, it occurred in the spring, about March, April, May. So, you'd have to say about 536.4. The total duration of Israel's captivity, seven times punishment, is, look at the modern solar years, 2,483.8. Okay, go from 536, you come out to 1947.4. You have to add a year because there was no year zero. You know, we went from B.C. to A.D., there wasn't zero year. So you have to add a year, and what do you come up to? Rebirth of Israel, 1948, May 15th. The Babylonian captivity occurred in the spring. It occurred about the time of the Passover. All of this was typed out. Everything seems to occur about the time of Passover. Any questions? Now, to me, this amazes me. This is astonishing. Do you know what the odds? This is not a lot of complicated math. Do you know what the odds are that it would hit 1948 in the spring? And I believe, like I said, if you took the math, you have to remember that interpolation we did. It really comes out to a bunch of numbers after the decimal point, a bunch of them, five or six. if you really got this thing exactly down, you know, calculating not just leap days, but leap hours and minutes, I believe if you really did this, the numbers, I think it would predict not only the spring, May 15th, but probably the day, probably the hour, probably the minute, probably the very second, knowing the preciseness of the Holy Spirit. I haven't done the math. I don't know enough about the translation between the two calendars to know all the math on that, but I think that would be fascinating to find out. If anybody's done it, might be out there on the internet. See if anybody's done to see that the Lord not only prophet. I mean, just to even hit, that's like shooting a rocket, you know, 6,000 miles and landing about 30 yards from your target. That's a phenomenal thing. Now, it took a while to explain all that. Did everybody get it? But, you know, I wanted to share this morning because it reinforces my belief. There is a groundswell movement. I don't know if you know about it, that Israel has nothing to do with the end times. There really is. It's basically it's charismatic anti-Semitic. And that, you know, we discount it because Israel moves in an antichrist spirit. It does. Israel's very antichrist. But, you know, they're beloved of the Lord, according to Romans 11. And God says in the end, he's going to return back to Israel and he's going to fulfill the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the amazing thing is, folks, back to Ezekiel's time, just as it was prophesied, the first coming was prophesied, the wise men saw it. That's why they showed up. I mean, they showed up and said, a king is born. How did they know that? Daniel 9. Based upon 536 B.C. And by the way, they were all operating in lunar years back then. It was pretty easy math, you know. This is probably why most people miss it, because they don't understand the interpolation in the modern-day solar years. I believe they do. I don't know, but I do know they use. Obviously, the Jewish calendar doesn't have A.D. in the year of our Lord. You know, they're going to kind of resist that. But why did the Lord do this? I really believe it's interesting that Jesus said, well, the Son of Man will come such a time, and no man, listen, knows the day or the hour. He didn't say you may not know the seasons. I really believe I have a prayer. Oh, one other thing. One last thing. Have y'all ever heard where it says in Matthew 24, when he said, look at the fig tree and know that when the fig tree blossoms, this is the whole thing Hal Lindsey used, that in that generation all these things will come to pass. And Hal Lindsey used to say that means, and let me tell you, 1988 was a big year for the second coming. Remember that, Rick? We believed he was coming back. That was 40 years. And everybody taught 40 years was a generation because of 40, you know, 40-day flood and 40-year captivity. So we were all ready for Jesus to come back in 88. On Rosh Hashanah, there was this guy traveling around, had a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Came Back in 88. Rick and I went and saw him across town. We were ready, man. We were ready. I even gave it to my brother, which was stupid. Because later, my unsaved brother. But we all believe that a generation was 40 years. Now, I believe in Matthew 24, where he says, this generation will not pass till he comes again. It's true. But you want to see what the Bible definition of a generation is? We just got to look back at a verse we just looked at. Look at Genesis 15. This is what the Bible calls a generation. Genesis 15:13. We just looked at this. And he said to Abram, know of a surety your seed shall dwell, be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and after they'll come out with great substance. And you shall go forth to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation shall they come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now what's fascinating is he's likening the fourth generation to 400 years. Do you see that link? Now, how many can do that math? What's 400 divided by 4? 100 years. So, I mean, if that's the case, and this is my personal eschatological end time belief. You want to hear it? To tie this up? I really believe this. He didn't come back in 88. They really thought he was. We thought he was coming back in late 70s there for a while. He didn't come back in 96, which was the 2000th birthday of Jesus' birth. Did you know Jesus was born in 4 BC? You say, what? Some Scrabble monk era. Push the thing back 4 years. Okay, so you have to go. So Jesus. So what's 2,000 years from 4 BC? What's 2,000 years from 4 BC? 1996. That's the year we moved in this building. No, that's the year we bought this building. Guess what? Guess what didn't happen in 96? He didn't come back. So I believe, listen, if you go 100 years from 1948, where are you at? 2048. Where are we at right now? 2006. How many years is that? 42 years. My humble belief is Jesus Christ will come back, you ready? Somewhere between 2027 and 2029. Which is 2027 is, how many years is that? 60, how many years is that from now? 21 years from now? To 23. And the reason is, and I go from the, what's called the Sabbath millennium theory, that there was 6 years, six, each day is a year, 1,000 years is a day, and the seventh year, that God, for the dispensation of the church, he gave the church 2,000 years. The church. The birth of the church, folks, was in 29 AD. Go back 4 years. 33 AD, go back four. The birth of the church, Pentecost, was 29 AD. All right? What's 2,000 years from 29 AD? 2029. Okay. I believe that's going to be the back end of the seven-year tribulation. And he says if those days were not cut short, even the... And so somewhere between... I think the seven-year tribulation will begin, the seven-year covenant will begin in 2022. Somewhere around 2022 to 2021, 2023, there's going to be a sign with Israel and Antichrist. And in about late 20s, there's going to be the terrible great tribulation, the wrath of God, and he's going to pull us out around 2027, 2028. I already calculated. I will be 77 years old in 2029. I'll be 75 years old in 2027. But you know what makes sense? Look, if it's 100 years, it's got to be done by 2048. We're just talking about 12 years prior to that. It just says somewhere within that generation. And he says he's going to cut it short. So that's my 2 cents eschatological end times belief. Jesus, I really believe as we get closer to it, look at what's going on in the world. Every two-bit nation wants nuclear bombs. I mean, the world, the increase of knowledge, there's so many prophetic things have come to pass. Isn't it amazing that the center of all world attention continues to be that little tiny nation the size of New Jersey that was prophesied? Well, why? Look what we saw today. It was prophesied that it would be, and sure, did you know Zechariah says, in the end times, I will make Jerusalem a stumbling stone, a burdensome stone to all nations, says that in Zechariah. In the end times. It'll be a burden. Who would have thought? Thousands of years later, this modern world, little Israel is a burdensome sign. It is. Terrorism. You know, if we eliminated the nation of Israel, the Arab terrorists wouldn't have a whole lot to squawk about. I mean, it's basically an anti-Semitic thing. You know why they hate America? Because we support Israel. It all boils down to Israel. Well, the bottom line is these, go behind these demonic things, these powerful entities, these spirit beings, and they know that Jesus is going to sit in Israel one day and rule. And just like they tried to destroy and, you know, cause everyone to be evil, they didn't quite get Noah and his family. They got everybody else. You know, and then when Jesus was born through Herod, he sent the soldiers to kill all the babies, right? But Jesus scooted out over to Egypt. I mean, it's even today. I think Satan is trying to crush Israel. Just kill Israel, destroy Israel, then the Messiah can't come back. It's always a futile exercise. And he's trying to do it today. It's not going to work. Any questions? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. Thank you that your word is true, Jesus. It's true in ways we cannot fathom, that you're faithful, that you're Lord, you're fully cognizant of the times, that we're witnesses in these days of end time events, that this little nation is precious and beloved in your eyes, though it's just an abomination as far as it full of antichrist, yet because of your call of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's beloved in your eyes. And you will fulfill all your promises. And one day you're going to appear to that nation, and the whole nation will repent. And they'll see the wounds in your hands, and they'll repent, and they'll loathe themselves. And a remnant will come forth and stand on Zion and sing the song of Moses. And Jesus, that nation will once again be under your rule. And praise God, and somewhere in the middle of all that will be caught up and come back down and rule and reign with you from the heavenlies. We thank you, Jesus, that all things are working according to your time. Lord, make us wise. We have to live in this world day in and day out. Lord, help us keep our eyes firmly fixed on things to come. That, Lord, you are behind history. You are behind the scenes of the day, of the month. All the turmoil in the world, Jesus, it's all written out according to Bible plan. Lord, let this truth today go down in our spirit that you literally thousands of years before prophesied, I believe, not only to the season, but the month, the week, the day, the hour, possibly even the very second that this nation would become an independent nation again and fulfill the iniquities, fulfill the punishment, come out of the captivity they were in for so long. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, what's really interesting is this time people have been coming to Israel. Did you know in the Bible it says they're prophesied about the regathering, and this time they are coming to Israel from all over the world. And you just study, there was a National Geographic special about what was the name of it was Beyond All Hope, Beyond All Hope, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And this time they are coming. They're from all over all parts of the world. Even Ethiopian blacks that had, I believe, where the Ark is. I personally believe the Ark of the Covenant is down there in Ethiopia because of the Ethiopian eunuch and all of that. And they got saved because they even came up. The early Jewish remnants from them. The descendants of, what was it, Menelik from when Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon. So it's like finally, you know, now you see a fulfillment. Amen? Look at there, man. Precisely at 10:20. To the second.